This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke International Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting live to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live upon the earth. And of course, I believe this message is important for all people. And today I want to talk about a number of worldwide issues. I want to talk about the controversy that's going on with the Danish newspapers who published the cartoons of Muhammad. I want to talk about the Nick Griffin trial. I want to talk about freedom of speech, true freedom of speech. And I want to talk about the hypocrisy that exists right now in the West. So let's get started and discuss some of these issues. I think these are very critical issues for us right now, and they're certainly in the news. And I want to give you some ammunition when you talk to your friends and family about these subjects. So let's begin. As you know, there's been a huge controversy recently about the fact that a Danish newspaper, and subsequently many more newspapers, have published cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad in a disparaging way. And this is kind of interesting in the fact that this was not done in the Arabic countries. In fact, this was not something exported to the Arabic countries. This was something done in a nation of Denmark, which was a country until recently was, in fact, an entirely Christian or Odinist or European society. It literally had almost no Muslims at all in it. And let me say something when I begin this conversation, and it's a very important issue for me to make clear to people. I believe in religious freedom, and I believe in freedom of speech for all points of view, and I even believe in freedom of speech for those that go against religion. Freedom is freedom, and if we cannot question ideas, our thoughts, our principles, then we certainly are in big trouble. We have no real freedom. We have no right to call ourselves free, and we have no right to call ourselves defenders of human rights. That doesn't mean that we believe in freedom simply for people who agree with our opinions. I'm a Christian individual. I have many friends who are Christians. I have other friends who are Odinists. I have friends who are non-believers. I have friends who are Muslims. I have friends of different faiths around the world. I have some friends, in fact, who are Hindu, or people that I know of that persuasion. And by the way, whom I respect. I believe in freedom of speech because I think freedom of speech is the absolute essential freedom of all freedoms, because without freedom of speech, if they try to take away your other freedoms, if they in fact kill you or torture you or spirit you away or restrict your rights in some capacity, somehow affect your community in a negative way, without freedom of speech you have no ability to determine what's going on, what's really happening in the world. Freedom is very essential. And freedom, by the way, doesn't mean simply the freedom for to have these huge network conglomerates. If a tiny percentage of people decides what we'll hear and what we won't hear, how is that, in fact, freedom, especially if it is of a closely knit group that has an agenda? And, of course, you know what I'm leading at. I'm leading right toward the Jewish supremacist domination of the American media, the neocon domination. They have an agenda. They have an agenda that's pro-Israel, pro-Jewish supremacy. They have worked together as a team, as a group, to dominate Hollywood, to dominate media around the world, and to secure their specific strategic objectives in the world. Freedom is truly about freedom. Freedom is the idea that an individual has the right to hear different points of view, that ideas are judged not on simply their pervasiveness, the fact that someone's got the money to put these ideas out on NBC or CBS or CNN or Al Jazeera or whatever, but the idea that ideas can compete in the marketplace, that they can compete freely, and people can judge ideas on their own merits. Now, that being said, the controversy came about because of these cartoons. Obviously, for a government, a society, to censor cartoons that satire, that make fun or satire different issues or points, is, again, totally against the idea of freedom of speech, freedom of expression in a real way. And we're not talking about the freedom of expression such as the guy that mooned some lady in Massachusetts and the court set him free. But we're talking about freedom of political and religious thought. We don't need any more trials for heresy. We don't need any more trials for sedition. We need an America and a world where we have true freedom. We're not going to have that kind of freedom when people are bowing to individual pressure. Now, the reason why we had an outcry again in Denmark is because Denmark has so many immigrants. Those newspapers, if Denmark was all Danish and European, there would be no offense taken. There would be no one to see any offense. I mean, if you're going to get upset about something someone does halfway around the world, if somebody in Kampala, Uganda over there, who's a Muslim, might maybe, stamps on a picture of Jesus Christ, you know, and I don't know about it, I mean, I'm sure not going to get upset about it. I'm not going to get upset about it. I might get upset about it in my country. I might oppose it, but that's not the same thing as trying to make laws or trying to put people in prison for having a different point of view. The ironic thing is we have a government now and a state in America where we literally finance. You know about all this. I mean, I think you are fully aware of the art exhibits that were supported, by the way, federal tax money. One of the exhibits was in the United States just a few years ago, supported by your tax money, with an exhibit showing Christ, Jesus Christ, in urine. That's right. Christ in urine. I mean, this is incredible. I don't think government should support that kind of that kind of quote art. I don't even consider that art. Most of it's not art. You know, we just had the recent 250th anniversary of Mozart, and they unveiled a new statue for Mozart in Salzburg a while back, a few months ago. And it was done by this modern artist, if you can put it that way. It looks like some sort of misshapen figure from Bantuland. It doesn't have any resemblance whatsoever to Mozart. I mean, it's just absolutely grotesque in its shape and its configuration. It's just absolutely hideous. It is not art. I can guarantee you an 8 or 9 year old boy or girl could do it very easily. They could do it blindfolded. And it looks like the artist did it blindfolded, by the way. But we have an interesting situation where, you know, we have this worldwide outcry. And I think the outcry is not so much about the Danish paper running the caricatures of Muhammad, negative caricatures. I think it was just about the tension and the pressure that has just welled up in these people, primarily because of Israel. In fact, one of the commentators that I saw on CNN, and I don't watch too much television, frankly, but one of the commentators, in fact, said that this just kind of blew the lid off of it. People get incensed. And let me tell you something. The Muslims have a lot of strength in their ideas. I mean, they defend what they believe, and they fight for it. I wish the Europeans fought as hard in some ways. And I'm not talking about burning embassies, but, you know, I wish they'd get upset. It seems like anything can happen to our society, to our culture, our heritage, and they don't get upset. Now, the ironic thing is that the reaction to all this, the reaction to the threats and the acts against Denmark, has created a tremendous response in the liberal media and among other people in the press. And they're all speaking about freedom of speech and freedom of press. In fact, they're saying that many newspapers around Europe and America have reprinted these cartoons just as a symbolic thing to show solidarity. And so, therefore, if they get bombed or they get attacked, you know, they feel like they're either going to hang together or they're going to hang separately. And so they decided that they're not going to let anybody hang separately. So they believe in freedom of speech. And they condemned the reaction of the Muslim world for trying to react this way to this newspaper running this caricature and putting this economic pressure on them, of course. And, of course, they were mad about that. And that was even before the riots and the bedlam and so forth that existed in some places in the Middle East. The ironic thing is, you see, that we have a degree of fanatics, and Muslims have some extremists in them, and I don't think most Muslims are extreme, but Muslims have extremists among them. And let me tell you something. The Jewish faith has some extremists among them, and the Christian faith has some extremists among them, and the Jewish faith is the most extreme of them all. And the ironic thing is, and what we don't hear about and what we don't talk about, is the fact that the source of the original cartoons and running it was by an editor named Rose, and I have some good questions about his background, and he wanted to see what he wanted to test the limits of free speech by running these original cartoons, by the way. I think he was trying to exacerbate things, because you see, the Jewish supremacists are seeking this, what they call World War IV. They're seeking this so-called clash of civilizations, this incredible conflagration of mankind. Why? Because they feel that Europe has the tremendous nuclear power and the physical power and the military power and the economic power to win this conflict. And in the process, Israel will expand its borders, and Israel will expand its influence, and Israel will get more money from the West as an ally. Of course, the only reason we need Israel as an ally is because of the fact of Israel. You know, people often say, you know, why do you support, why don't you support Israel? Israel's our only friend in the Middle East. Well, the question is, why is Israel our only friend in the Middle East? Israel is the reason why we don't have any friends in the Middle East. And the support of Israel has caused America irreparable damage in so many ways. It is absolutely the direct, our support of Israel and the criminal regime of Ariel Sharon and these other mass murderers and terrorists that exist in this country. Our support of this nation has led directly to the tragedy of 9/11, to the restriction of American civil liberties, to the cost of countless billions, in fact trillions of dollars, to the disaster and the ongoing disaster of the Iraq War, and even greater. We may even go to a new war in Iraq and a new war in the world. And I tell you something, if we go to war with Iraq, even what we call a limited war, the terrorism will escalate geometrically, not only in the Middle East, but all over the world. If we don't even have to invade Iran, but if we go in there and bomb them heavily, we don't even have to use nuclear weapons, which is not off the table, by the way. Some of the people in office have already said they're not going to rule out that kind of activity. But if we go in there with this and we bomb their reactors, instead of a few thousand infiltrators coming across the border into Iraq supporting the resistance fighters there, they will be hundreds of thousands. Instead of a few thousand suicide bombers, you'll have tens of thousands of suicide bombers. And the great majority, the only underpinning of the state, which is the Shiites there in Iraq, they are with very closely Iran, because Iran is a Shiite nation. So they feel, so if we attack, you know, Iran, not only has Iraq already come undone, in fact, Iraq was never really sewed up. The fact is, we don't control Iraq today. We control a few military areas, and then we occasionally go out from those areas, kind of like the Crusader castles during the Middle Ages. We can, you know, and then we have to go back behind our walls and protect ourselves. We got a little green zone in Baghdad. Even that's not safe anymore. But anytime we venture outside of those protected areas, it's, you don't have it. So 99% of the nation of Iraq is not pacified. It's not like, you know, the old days when we occupied Germany in the Second World War or some of these other wars where soldiers could free range and go out. When we occupied Japan, a soldier could go anywhere and feel perfectly safe. Same thing is true in Germany. Same thing is true in Austria. Iraq is not that way. No soldier would even venture, especially not in uniform, but even outside of the uniform, outside of the protected areas from military convoys. We do not control Iraq. We had more control over the Vietnam situation. As a person who visited Vietnam, and of course I worked in Laos and during part of the Vietnam War, I can tell you, you could in the South Vietnamese area, most of the South Vietnamese areas, an American could walk anywhere and never feel any danger, never feel any problem. This is not the way it is in Iraq. But anyway, back to the thing. So here's all this media raising this big, you know, hoo-ha about freedom of speech and freedom of press, and this same media stays silent while Ernst Zundel sits in a prison in Mannheim, Germany, for simply having an historical opinion, a pacifist, anti-terrorist, anti-violent, decent man who simply has an unpopular opinion about a historical period of time during the Holocaust. He sits in a prison and he's threatened with years of imprisonment. We have David Irving right now sitting in a high security prison in Vienna, Austria. Vienna, Austria. Simply because he made a simple statement in the speech. Now think about that for a second, ladies and gentlemen. You make a statement in a speech the government doesn't like, nothing about violence, they doesn't agree with, and they threaten to throw you in jail for up to 20 years. Now, David Irving is an historian. He is a brilliant man whose books are in every library of the world. In fact, they're even in the library of the prison right now where he's being held. Right now, where he's being held, his books are there in the prison library. And yet he's facing a possible 20 years for making a sentence, for stating a sentence or two. Nick Griffin, thank goodness, was found innocent. Well, at least there were no charges decided. Some innocent, no charges decided on most things. And it sounds really, the charges against him sound really stupid right now, don't they? Because when you consider, do you know what's gone on in England over the last couple of days? I'll give you an example. They just had a demonstration. And in fact, I was able to see this on CNN early this morning. They had a demonstration in London, and these demonstrators literally called for beheading, for murder, for violence against people. In fact, I'm looking at a picture of some of the signs right this moment, and here's one of the signs they read, and I can show you a picture. And this, the police are standing in front of them, you know, guarding the demonstrators, I guess, from British citizens who are unhappy with them. Slay those who insult Islam. And another one, kill those who deface the Prophet. You know, behead those who besmirch Islam. I mean, these are signs that literally suggest, in fact, they promote illegal violence. Nick Griffin was just in prison, was just on charges, I should say, threatened with 7 years in prison for simply, you know, pointing out some of the problems with immigration and some of the more radical elements of the Muslim faith and some of the radical elements inside the Muslim community. In fact, these radical elements are shown right here in these pictures. In fact, his trial seems more and more ludicrous as you go along. When you see these things going on, why didn't the police step in? The police simply said that they couldn't go enforce the laws, that they'll investigate the tapes. But I mean, here's a guy with a sign saying behead someone. You know, so I mean, it really is amazing. You know, the double standards that exist right now in the country. Imagine if Nick Griffin or any of the British National Party or any of these people are David Irving or Zundel would say something like kill the Jews or kill the minorities or something like that. And no one would agree with that kind of statement. And these men don't say those kinds of things, never say those kind of things. How long do you think their sign would last? You know, and they're in prison for simply arguing an historical point, saying that they're, you know, that some of the evidence. We have Germer Rudolph, another good friend of mine who's now in prison in Germany. He's in a prison for terrorists. His crime for being an intellectual and challenging and questioning some aspects of the Holocaust story. You know, we had a little break in some of the wires, but we'll have this archive so people can download this program very soon. So I can see we're back connected, but we'll have it going. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are in the world, and it's just kind of an amazing world we live in. Now, I want to make a point. As I told you, there are fanatics in the Islamic world, and those fanatics I would oppose. And there are fanatics in the Christian world, and those fanatics I would oppose. And there are fanatics in the Islamic, in the Jewish world, and I would oppose them. The media right now in the United States of America, and a tremendous amount of the media, for instance, in Britain and elsewhere around the world, has this radical or extremist Jewish influence pervading it. And this influence absolutely has created a climate where we prosecute people and put people in prison for, quote, defaming the memory of the dead. I think that's one of the German laws for questioning any aspect of the Holocaust. In France, if you simply argue against any of the verdicts at Nuremberg, if you simply say the verdict, if you simply say something in contradiction to a verdict at Nuremberg or a decision at Nuremberg, then you go to prison. Let me ask you a question. Could you imagine any sort of free society where someone couldn't question the verdict of a court, not even question the verdict of a court or argue against it or say this is not the right verdict or wasn't correct? Well, that's exactly what's going on today. So what we've really got going on right now is we have extremism on one side, and which is Islamic, and we have extremism on the other side, which is Jewish, and they're feeding off of each other. The Jewish extremists are intentionally trying to ratchet it up and make the Islamics incensed. The Islamics, come back in kind. And in the process, but the Jewish extremists who've dominated our press do not allow freedom of speech from a lot of the Christian element in terms of our values. And, there is no outcry by this Jewish media when you have these incredible anti-Christian ethics. Are these movies and programs and documentaries and newscasts that simply completely pervert the values and principles and traditions of America? For instance, the Brokeback Mountain movie, which is a slap in the face on every male American tradition. I mean, what could be more intrinsically American and part of the American tradition heritage than the cowboy? And the image of the cowboy is brave and upright and courageous and decent and so forth. This is quite a new image for the Marlboro man. So, there's no outcry about that, but there is an outcry in this media if anyone dares to be guilty of so-called hate crime. Hate is that very, very special and an incredibly versatile word they use to describe anyone who dares to question their point of view, who dares to question their view of history, who dares to question their strategic objectives, and who thinks those strategic objectives are not so good for the world, such as the Iraq War. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's about it for the program today. I've enjoyed being with you. I'll be back with you tomorrow. And again, if you've missed some of the show live and archived, if any of it got lost, and sometimes that happens with the internet, then you can definitely just hang on for a few minutes. I'm going to upload the show, and you can then download it, and hopefully you can stream it. But we're having some problems with the streaming, but you can certainly download and listen to the program. And I think that this would be another show that it would be great for you to get out to your friends and family, because I think this show has a lot of important issues that kind of clearly illustrate the hypocrisy that we have in the world. We can't argue the Holocaust, we throw people in jail, but somehow the Islamics are suppressing freedom because they don't like their prophet besmirched. And we have two extremists on each side going after it here. And by the way, I think that if the West was continued to be a Christian West, if we wouldn't have opened our gates to massive immigration, there's no question of the fact that this the problem that we're having now with the Danes and the fact that our freedom of speech is under attack in this manner would not be there. And of course, again, those who control the press already are controlling freedom of speech and restricting freedom of speech away from those of us who would like to express ourselves on ideas that are not politically correct. Okay, thanks a lot, and I will certainly see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.